thank you because you are the only church that supports me on a monthly basis, and I appreciate that. I thank God for that. And I've had some awesome times. I have not gone back to Ghana this year yet. I came back in October last year. And right now my mom is, she wants to go home. She wants to go to glory. She doesn't want to fight, and she's been fighting some physical symptoms for a while, and she is just wants to go to heaven. So I've been postponing my trips. I didn't take one this spring, and I haven't set a date on one this fall. And I have another awesome opportunity possibly coming before me to maybe even go into India. So that's still in the works, not worked out yet, but I'm excited about that one. As excited as I got, I'm pretty sure God's in this thing. So I think we'll see that come to pass. But right now, we're just going to take it one step at a time. But I just want to thank you so much for your support and prayers. And the prayers are as important as the support. And I covet each and every one of them. There's things that you face on the foreign field that you don't see here. And, you know, but being in the will of God is a perfect place to be. And there's safety and security. And it's just as safe for me to be in Ghana or India in the midst of what's going on in the world as it is here. It's safer for me to be there in the will of God than me to be here out of the will of God. Amen? So God's going to help us everywhere we go, no matter what we face in life. God's there with us. Amen? Aren't you glad? He's never, ever, ever, ever going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. And we're going to talk about some of these things today, kind of simple, plain things that are like right under your nose. Do you ever go to a cupboard and you can't find something? My husband does this. I don't know if this is a man thing. I don't want to, you know. But I've noticed it quite a bit with men that they'll open a cupboard and you tell them where it is and it's not there. And I says, I know, I just put it there. I don't see it. It's not there. And you walk over and you look and there it is. Right in plain sight, right under your nose. And that's kind of the things we're going to talk about today. Just some basic things that are right under our nose, but we need to look at them again. Amen? Amen. All right, so here we go. We're going to look in Romans chapter 8 and starting in verse 14. I'm kind of caught between the old world and the new one. So I got my old raggedy Bible and I got my iPad and I go back and forth all the time. And I think I like the Bible better than I do my iPad, but I need them both. So I'm still learning and haven't quite arrived yet. So we're going to go to the book of Romans. And we're going to chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 14. Simple, simple scripture. Amen? And you all know it. Probably put your Bible down and you could recite it for me. But it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How many is that you? That's you? We're led by the Spirit of God, or we ought to be. Too many times we jump into life and we just go. Jump out of bed, and we're on automatic pilot. But we need to stop and check in. Amen? We need to be led by the Spirit of God. We need to follow His directions. And He is continually giving you direction. Amen? Brother Hagin put it this way sometimes. That sometimes if you go to do something, you go to say something, it just isn't quite right. It's kind of like washing your feet with your socks on. There's just something not quite right about it. You're just not quite sure what it is, but it's not quite right. If it's not quite right, then stop. Just stop and take a step back and wait for His leading. Because sometimes the not quite right isn't that it's wrong what you're doing or want to do. You may even have clear direction that that's what you're supposed to do, but it might be the timing in the thing. Amen? God makes it clear. He makes it clear the what and the when. And in every step of the way, he equips you to take it where it needs to be. Amen? Because he anoints you. He equips you. The Spirit of the living God is on the inside of you. And we're going to see what that means. Amen? He's got an awesome plan for you. He's got an awesome plan for this church. Amen. He's got an awesome plan for people that we work with, go to school with, and see all around us. And you might be a part of their puzzle. He might lead you to some of the most unlikely people you ever come up against. Amen? You think, wow, really? And yet you step in and there's a grace to speak a word of encouragement or life to them because he's put it in you. See, he's continually transforming you and me. We're conforming to his likeness. We're conforming to his image. He's already created us. We're spirit beings to begin with. So he deals with us spirit to spirit. And it's whether or not we are going to come to the place where we're in submission to that. When he speaks, that we bow. Amen? That you know, we think sometimes that we put this nice little word out there and say, well, I'm just a procrastinator. Is that true? That's not a good thing to be. If God speaks, we need to go now. And and just like in the end days, what we were hearing up here, you need to hear and you need to move when God says move, not sit and think about it. Amen. Because it could be life and death in the days that we're living in the place and in the hour. Amen. And God is going to protect us. He's going to take care of us. But we need to listen to him. I'm sure you've heard story after story from 9/11 about, you wonder, well, how could some Christians die in that thing and other Christians be spared completely? Well, some were listening and others weren't. It's not that God's playing favorites. Sometimes we walk right into the midst of trouble, just bullheaded, we're going to do what we're going to do. And it's going to cost us. And the thing is, years ago, we might have had a little bit of time to play. You know? And we might have picked the thing up and looked at it and thought, well, I'll get to that. Well, God's been dealing with me about that for 30 years. We can't get away. We gotta look and think, this is God's word to me. If he's speaking to your heart, it's the same as him speaking through his word. It's his holy written word that has come forth by God through his spirit so that when you jump into it, you're enlightened. You get light. You get what he's saying. He's taking you to a place. But we can't be hearers of the word only. As well as the Spirit of God individually speaking to us or a prophetic word coming to us, and we know it's God. It's not just some fluff off something, but the prophetic words that you know are God, they stick with you. Amen? You can't shake them things off. You might try to put it on the shelf, but it sneaks back around. There it is again. You got to look at it again. He's continually reminding you of those things. Amen? That is as precious as him standing here face to face and speaking it to you. So you can't opt out and just push it aside and think, well, I'll get to it. No, do it. Amen? He can catapult you into your future in a second when you start submitting and obeying and trusting him with everything. Amen? All of our lives can change instantly when we begin to follow his lead and take it. This is God. If Jesus Christ was standing next to me and he told me to go speak to somebody, do you think I'd stand there and question them? Do you think I'd, well, I don't know if I can do that. You think? Nah. But he is right here. He is right here. He's never going to leave you. He's never, ever going to forsake you. He's on the inside of you. The greater one is in us. Amen. He's equipping us. He's anointed us, it says in 1 John. Amen. He wants you to know some things. He wants you to take you some places. He wants to use you in great ways, some ways that we haven't even thought of yet. I've been amazed at some of the things God's done with me. For somebody that could not even look people in the face, had a hard time looking at my own face in the mirror. And then to take me and put me in different countries and do different things and teach in different schools and crusades and things like that. It's like, how'd this happen? He snuck up on me when I wasn't looking. Amen? And he can just take us places. He can just move you into something that's been in your heart for years and you've been putting back on the shelf because you couldn't believe he could do that for you. He could do that through you. Well, it's time we need to start believing him. If God said it, bless God, he means it. Amen? Amen. But we got to take his leading as life and death. In this point of history, especially, it's life and death. And you think, well, it's not that serious. It's cool. It's here in the Midwest. It might be life and death for the person he's leading you to. You don't see into the future. Miss Kelly has ministered, I don't know how many times, to people and won them to the Lord shortly before their death. Put her right in their path and built a relationship, and many of them have come to the Lord. And it was shortly, very shortly before they died. So it might not be life and death for her, but where she was led, it was life and death for them. Amen? And we got to start thinking like that. What's in you but the life of God? Amen? The Word of God carries life. We are bearers of life and light. We're clothed and equipped with the glory of God. And what he's put on the inside of us is not just for us. It's not just, oh, hallelujah, I got touched by God today. Why did you get touched? Why? There's a reason. Amen? He wants you whole. He wants you understanding why you're here, and he wants you to be a blessing. He wants to use you. Amen? And it's not all works as a works mentality, because I kind of grew up that way. If I did enough for God, then I was a good enough Christian. Well, why? We got to keep our motivation straight. What's our motivation? What's the first love? That we're always reminded to go back to the first love. We're doing stuff because we love Jesus. Amen? Because he's the master and we want to serve him. That's got to be our number one motivation. Not because we look good in the church, not because it's even the right thing to do. Amen. But because we love him and we're serving him, we're serving the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And yes, we're going to stand before him and he's going to say, I hope over every one of you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. I look at Dan Brower. Well done. Faithful is his middle name. Amen? This was our home church before we went to Bible school. So I've got a real heart for this church. I just love you guys. And such a blessing to be here. But that's the heart of God. That we find out who we are and why we're here and take seriously instead of as options. And for too many years, it's been an option. Well, I can do that if I want to. And you see mainstream Christianity getting totally engulfed in the world. Totally engulfed. Churches that go clubbing and dancing and drinking together. What is that? Get how close to the world we can get so that we can win the world? No, they need to see a difference. They need to see the light. They need to see Jesus in you. They need to see the love of God. Amen. And I'm not here preaching do's and don'ts. The Holy Ghost, that's his job. Amen. It's all throughout the Word of God, and it says his job is to convince you of righteousness and convict you of sin. So I don't need to put out a laundry list of what you can and can't do. Amen? But you already know. Right? Because we're led by the Spirit of God. Amen? So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Amen. We're just singing about being free, weren't we? So we're not going back under fear. We've been set free. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of might and of a sound mind. Amen. Aren't you glad? Some of you were wondering about that. No, you've got a sound mind. Word says so. Amen. Praise God. We're not going to go back under that stuff because we've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's like daddy, daddy, daddy. I love to see a little girl with her little pigtails flying and run up to daddy's lap and jump on and give him a big hug and just start talking. That's the kind of daddy we're talking about here, not the formal one that's sitting behind the desk and has to see if he's got time to meet with you, but the one that you can jump on his lap and pour out your heart and have fun with. Abba, Father, not formal Father. Amen? Our Father, who art in heaven. No, Daddy, Abba, Father. That's the relationship he wants. He wants this interaction. That's why we were created to begin with, to meet with him, to talk with him, to dwell with him, to be one with him. Amen. And the life that we live in now, how busy it's gotten, boy, you can crowd God right out of a day in no time, just hopping on the day. It just comes and goes, and another one flows on by, and you think, wow. We have to guard our time, and we have to follow his leading so we don't miss what he's got. Amen? There's some awesome, awesome things ahead. But that's, we have, because of the spirit of adoption on the inside of you, you're crying out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You're a child of the Most High God. Amen? And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, so it be that with him, joint heirs with Christ, so it be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Or the creation, all of creation, one version says, calls out, is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. All of creation. There's a yearning in everything created for God. Everything. And that's why in the evangelical church that I got saved through, they had a track, and we talked about the God-shaped vacuum that was on the inside of every one of us. And nothing is going to satisfy until that is satisfied. Amen? Nothing. People try drugs and sex and drinking and money and fame and trying to build up who they are in this world system, and it's going to fall short. There is a world system, and there's part that we have to partake in, but if we run after that and not him, we're going to be disillusioned. And we're going to have that vacuum on the inside of us that's crying out for more. Amen. So we have to follow after him in these things. Creation's crying out for what? That all of creation's crying out for what? For the manifestation of what? The manifestation of the sons of God to be revealed. What does that mean? Kelly, come here. Miss Kelly, She was my first Africa partner. She went with me on my first trip. She's a born again child of God. Amen. Thank God. The minute she was born again, the love of God was shed abroad in her heart. She was an old creature, that old person, that old spirit being passed away. It's all gone. There's forgiveness, there's mercy, everything in her past is gone. She's been washed by the blood. She's brand new. She's cleansed. Thank God. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And the devil tries to bring in ugly thoughts and say, this is who you are. And what do you with those ugly thoughts? You have to take them captive. Everything that tries to exalt itself against the word of God, it says you're not free, you're not holy, you're not righteous, you're not good enough. All those ugly things, yeah, but you did this and you did that. What happens? If you let that stuff wander around your mind, it's going to take root. You have to grab hold of it, and you have to cast down those vain imaginations and everything that tries to exalt itself against the Word of God. The battlefield is the mind. And if you gain ground there, how do you gain ground? By the Word that you deposit in your own heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's going to come back out of you. In your time of trouble, your time of need, you find out what's in you. Some people just start cussing and running off at the mouth and blaming everyone else for where they are, and other people start exalting God and giving him place so he can immediately jump in that situation and help. Amen? So what are you going to do? Amen. Grab hold, get that word in your heart. The love's already there. The word's getting deposited in there. We're growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're conforming to his likeness and his image. Amen. We are not what we once were. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Amen. So all these things are taking place. The love went first. Amen. Because God is love. He doesn't just love, he is love. God is the full essence of love in every aspect of it. He doesn't have to think about walking in love, he is love. Amen. Amen. And as we conform ourselves, then we begin to walk that path, walk in the fullness of what's already in us. And then what else happened? The fruit of the Spirit, it came, and it grows and it develops. You ever see a spring where there's hundreds and hundreds of buds and then a frost comes? What happens? The buds fall off. But then the next year, it's nurtured a little bit and the buds come out. And if it's nurtured and guarded a little more, they're going to grow and develop. And some of us have been... We just gave place to God and run, and we've been growing and developing since day one, and others have had a few frosty seasons. And what should have been growing fell off. The buds were, they're still there. The seed's still there. So the, what is the fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. Amen. All those things are where? Inside just Kelly? Are you children of God? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't matter if you're Irish or Italian. You got self-control. Amen. We can't blame it off on somebody else. We can't blame it off on our grandparents. Even if your mom and dad, deal with it. Let go of it. If you were abused or shortchanged in a bad relationship, raised bad upbringing, this stuff tries to keep us suppressed, keep us down, keep us from becoming who we were meant to be. And we were meant to be. Some awesome people that radiate God. So all of this is in this packaging. In Colossians 1, 26 and 27, I love those scriptures. I'm going to read them in a minute. But the short little gist of the whole of it is that Christ in you is the hope of glory. He's in you. Faith God that we serve has faith in you. Has faith that you're going to do good things for God, that you're going to glorify God, that His glory is on the inside of us. His Spirit is on the inside of us. If we lack wisdom, we're supposed to ask. And where is wisdom? It comes to us. Amen? Amen? Mm-hmm. Everything we have and everything we need pertaining to life and godliness in Christ Jesus, we already have it. Amen. It's in here. It's packaged in us. But if we're more flesh-minded, if we're more carnal, what's a carnivore? They eat meat, right? So if we're meatheads, if that's where our thinking is and we're just after the flesh, what are we going to respond to? Mm-hmm. We're going to be carnal. We're going to stay at a baby place. Even though all of this is packaged in this new creature. Amen?
Amen.
So what makes one person shine and radiate and one person just kind of drag by in life? Both maybe got saved the same day. Both got the same package deal. It's what we do with what we got.
Amen.
We can't play the victim card here. We can't say, yeah, but mama did. Or yeah, but they didn't give me a chance. Or yeah, but season is over. Amen? Just give it up. Give it up. Amen? And I'm not minimizing because I've been through some horrific things that I know what I'm talking about because I've come through a lot. I've overcome a lot. Mm-hmm. And yet at the same time, there's still stuff in my heart that I have to face and deal with. Mm-hmm. And I've some to overcome yet. Because if I give place to emotions, it will pull me down into a carnal realm. So I have to take those thoughts and things that are still out there captive or I'm in trouble. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's a war, but good news is we win it. Amen? Aren't you glad?
Amen.
You're on the victory side?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't know if I need you more or not, so we'll holler if I do. But God... And I got 40 more scriptures to go here, so we better roll. So we're heirs. We're heirs with Christ. We're children of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. What does that mean? What does that mean? Let's say there was a DNA test. We had three people standing up here, and they were all going to find out who their father was. They're just sitting there waiting to find out. And there's three fathers there, and one's a king of the land of plenty, and one's a plumber, and one's an architect. And they find out who their father is. Let me ask you something. If that one finds out that his father's the king of the land of plenty, how's he going to act?
Haughty?
Huh? Excited? Is that what you said? Or the king of England. Let's just say the king of England. That's better. Yeah, you're empowered by that, right? There's a confidence that rises up. There's a surety that now I have a place, right? I have a place. I know where I belong, and I'm going to be well cared for. I'm going to be taken care of in the best way. Amen. Amen. Well, we just got the DNA results back, guys. And we know who our father is. And he's King of Kings. And he's Lord of Lords. And he's your father. And you are an heir of his. That means what belongs to him is yours. Amen. He withholds no good thing from those that walk upright. Amen. Aren't you glad? So what has he done for us? Does it make any difference that your father is the heavenly father? That he is the creator of heaven and earth? Does that make any difference? You've been elevated to a standing far above. I don't care what president or king on this earth, if they don't know Jesus Christ, you're exalted far above them, and you have a greater position than they have. Amen. And you've been equipped with the best. Amen. We're not lacking for anything except asking and expecting. Because if we really think our daddy joint heirs with Christ, that means we're together. We are, what's the word that I had? Participants in common. We are participants in common with Christ. That means what he has done, we can do. Amen. You guys could get a little bit more excited about this. It wouldn't hurt you. What he has done, we can do. He told us that in the book of John, didn't he? In John chapter 14. But I want to jump back just a little bit here. Got ahead of myself and left a few things out. I want to read Colossians 1, 26 and 27. So we don't jump over that. I just gave you a tidbit. It says, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This was hid for ages. It was hid for generations, it said. Amen. Let me read something else to you real quick here about mysteries. In Daniel 12:8, it says, and I heard, but I understood not. And then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. There is revelation that has come into the body of Christ now. That's been there the whole time. But now is being revealed to his saints, amen? Which is you and me. It's coming forth to us, amen? Amen. And as we get it, we need to be quick to respond, quick to act on it. Amen. When I first heard about Jesus the healer, my first 10 years as a Christian, I didn't know he was the healer. Didn't have a clue. I hoped he'd heal, but Jesus, as far as I knew, was gone. So there wasn't a whole lot of hope there. Maybe some people could pray. Maybe it was his will. Maybe it wasn't. Who knew? Well, you can't muster up a whole lot of faith in that kind of thinking, can you? Because faith is an assurance. It's an expectation. It's a confident expectation. And let him who wavers expect to receive what? Nothing. So that kind of thinking, you're going to get nothing. But then I found out that he healed. And I saw hemorrhaging stop. And I saw cancer go. And I was amazed. And then I saw it work in my own body when I applied faith. And I saw carpal tunnel leave my body. And then I came back home and I was faced in that church and challenged about what I really believed. And told I couldn't teach on it. Couldn't share it. Well, when you're forced against that, it's going to cause you to, okay, what do I really believe? And that very day that I was told that I couldn't speak or represent the church concerning any of these things, not even in my own home, my son got the flu on the way home. We prayed. 5-minute flu. Hallelujah. Went downstairs to put his yucky clothes in the wash. My wash machine wasn't working. I cranked the dial back around. I said, in the name of Jesus. And it worked. Amen? I got mad enough I was going to do something. And I don't know why it is that we have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired before we move with what we have been promised. But sometimes it seems like we get this neutral kind of whatever. And then I got upstairs, put my little ones to bed, and my older daughter, she was 11 at the time, she ran down the hallway, and as she did, she fell and broke a bone in her leg. And it didn't come through the skin, but it pushed the skin up. It pushed it up to where you could see it raised up. You could see there was something pressing, but it just hadn't pierced through the skin. And I knew enough. I wanted to pray. And I didn't want to touch it, so I just cupped it, so I didn't see anything. But I prayed. Real quick, short prayer, because there was pressure coming on me to get it over and done with so we can deal with this thing and get an ambulance here. Well, I said, I want to pray first. So I prayed first. And when I removed my hand, it was smooth. None of that would have happened had I just thought, well, that's for those teaching healing school, and that's for the minister. I wasn't a minister. I wasn't a teacher. I was a mom, period. But I took my place. It says believers can lay hands on the sick. It doesn't say evangelists lay hands on the sick, although they can do it. It doesn't say pastors lay hands on the sick. Well, in James it does. It says the elders. But the thing of it is in it brings it down to the plain and simple in Mark 16. Even though the fivefold ministry is well equipped to do these things, so is the rest of the body of Christ. Every one of us. Every single one of us. But we have to take the word at its value. We have to take the Spirit, He's living in us, that He's empowered us, that He's going to reveal things to us, that He's going to enlighten you. There's light in dark, and He wants you to walk in light. Amen. When He wants you to see, why are you here? What are you doing? Where are you going? Amen. We're not working our way, earning our way into heaven, but there are things to get done on the way. Amen. And you will be satisfied. Amen. There's not going to be a void in you trying to come up with something to make you valuable as a person. There's nothing more valuable than the blood that was shed for you. Amen. You're as valuable as it gets. And if you were the only one that ever accepted Christ, He would have paid the price anyways. He would have given His all just for you. You're worth it. Amen. Amen. He sees us. So powerful, so well equipped. Amen. That whatever He asks you to do, it says that He's anointed you. Amen. I wish I had this picture. I use it when I teach healing. It's from some scientific book that was trying to prove some things out. And they show some sort of electromagnetic photography that shows the picture of the color of the, I don't know what, of a man's hand, what it looks like in a state of rest. And then it took the picture of the man after he was laying hands on people. And there was an amazing difference. You could see the power. You could see it. I wish I had the picture because it's hard to describe it. Yeah, there's just the color, the electricity, the power. You could see it in this photograph. Amen. Well, Christ in you is the hope of glory. What glory? That He is glorified through you. He is glorified in you. He is brought to light through you. Amen. All of creation is groaning. All of creation is crying out. It's wanting to the sons of God to be revealed. Oh, they want God. They want God. You know how many Muslims are coming to know the Lord Jesus? It's an incredible amount are coming in. Whole cities are having dreams and waking up, having had the same dream about Jesus. It's incredible. We have some friends that are in Erbil, Iraq. They're my heroes. And what they're doing is incredible. But the amount of people, and they just go head on right into it. They're working with the refugee camps and things like that. It's incredible. They're seeing, this isn't working. They're seeing the devastation. They're wanting truth. They're seeing the love of God. They see the contrast in the two. Amen. Amen. People need us. Amen. But how hungry are you to be the one? Amen. That's seeing the mysteries revealed. Amen. He wants to reveal some more things to us. He wants to give us light. But that's going to take a little bit of your time, a little bit of my time. Amen. It's going to take us knowing, absolutely knowing we're the sons of God and that we hear from God and that we're led by God and that we know. Amen? Don't ever say, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'll know. Amen. When you need to know, you're going to know. I'll know. Amen. No doubts. No confusion. Confusion is not of God. It's of the devil. Amen. He makes it clear. He makes it plain. So just rest. If you don't have the answer this second, just, I'll know. Be at peace. Because if you're saying and confessing, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know. What is that going to do to you? Cause you turmoil. Amen? And probably get you off track. So shut it. Amen? Amen. This is... We're going to look in the book of Daniel real quick. Ay, ay, ay. I didn't realize the clock was right there. I should have been paying more attention. I'm not going to read the book of Daniel real quick. What we're going to do is just highlight a couple of spots because I didn't realize quite how late it was. But in Daniel chapter 2, verse 17 through 23, there's some scripture that talks about Daniel. And he desired the secrets. He desired and he went and got his friends and brought them to the place that they would seek God and fast with him. Amen? For what purpose? For the revelation that was needed for that time. Amen? You need revelation for this day and this hour. Just like Daniel did, just like his friends did. But they didn't play with it. And I think there's a little bit of a danger that we've come into in the last, I don't know how many years in the Spirit-filled church, as we've almost exalted men and women of God too much. And where we're looking at them up on the platform and we see all the good stuff and we see them when they lay hands on people and we see ministry flow and we think, wow. And we take a step back and watch them. And that was never the intent ever. But somehow we've relegated ourselves to less than and taking a seat watching and expecting them to come minister to me. Expecting is backwards. What is the job of the pastor but to train up the body to do the work of the ministry? You guys got a job to do. Amen. You guys are going to go places your pastor can never get to. The evangelist will never run across. Amen. Because he's orchestrated your life. He's put you around people, neighbors, co-workers, family members that no one's going to touch but you. Amen. So Daniel and his friends, they wanted revelation and they sought after God. They sought him. They sought him with their heart. Because... for God's mercies, that the secrets would be revealed. Amen. Then they exalted God. And in verse 22, it says, he reveals deep and secret things, and he knows what dwells in darkness, and light dwells in him. So wherever there's darkness, he is not. But if you're in a dark place and you're not seeing things clearly, then guess where you need to go? You need to seek him. You need to get in his presence and grab forth the revelation that he has for you. Because in him, there is light. Amen. There's fullness of joy. And there's your health is going to spring forth speedily. In his light, there is light. And the light, it's like the dawning of the day. It just, boom, there it is. Boom. You stand and watch for the sun to rise. Ever been in that place where it's dark, and you think, well, I'm just going to stay up and watch the sun come up. You blink and turn away and boom, it's there. It just, boom. Well, when we're seeking God and we're seeking revelation, it's all of a sudden, it's just there. Revelation comes. Light comes. Answers come. What you have need of, it comes. Why? Because he's not playing favorites. You seek God, you receive from God. Amen. He is not a respecter of persons. He wants you to know what you have need of. Amen. He wants to fill you and flood you for his glory. Amen. This is what was said of Daniel. I think we'll end pretty quick here. I just want to give you a couple more scriptures. Daniel 2:47. The king said to Daniel, "Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." So he knows it only came through God. It came through a man. It came through Daniel. But he knew it was far beyond what Daniel had to offer. It wasn't answers that could be made up or come up in the natural. It came through God Almighty. So God was glorified in the midst of Daniel stepping out. And that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You seek God, you get your answers. You begin to walk in light of that. God is glorified in the midst of it all. His manifest presence and his glory is something we're all hungry for. He is always here. Always. Amen. Two or three are gathered. He's in the midst of them. You exalt him in praise. He inhabits the praises of his people. But you alone, in your car, in your bathroom, wherever you are, he's never going to leave you or forsake you because he resides on the inside of you. So as we go forth, we're containers of the glory of God. If we're hungry for God, as we were when we our first love hunger, when we're not going after things to get the things, but we're going after God to get more of God, then all the things begin to come into us. All the light and the revelation that we need comes into us to the place where we take a step up and we see things different. And God begins to use us in a greater way. Amen? Because it's in his plan. It's just that plain and simple. Amen. He wants to reveal to you these things have been shut up for ages and generations. It's the time of the end. It's the time of the end. We shouldn't be groping around in the dark. We're in the light. Amen. We should know, we should see the direction, and we should head for it, and we should not hesitate at all, but just keep going down that path till we've reached the place he has for us. And like just like Paul, when it was over and done, he said, "I've finished my course. I've run my race." There was no hesitation on his part at all. He knew what he was called to do was finished. Amen. 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 Well, praise God, he's good. Amen? Amen. I hope I stirred you up just a little bit to realize that the greater one in you, the potential and possibilities, all things, these aren't just words floating out there. It's truth and it's life. And if we grab hold of just the plain, simple truths that are under our nose, that he's in us, he's empowered us, he's equipped us, that nothing is impossible, that if we just dare step out in him, we're going to see the power of God flow through us to others. We're not going to wander around ignorant and wondering what end is up. We're going to know, and we're going to know where to plant our feet, and we're going to know which way to turn, and we're not going to be afraid. Psalm 91 is key to it all. He who does what? Abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. It's the secret place of God. Amen. Well, how you to get under my shadow? I see it here. You got to be pretty close to me. Amen. But we've got promise of protection. 1,000 will fall at one side, 10,000 at the other, but nothing's going to come near my dwelling. Amen. Why? Because I'm abiding. Trouble is a lot of Christians take Psalm 91 and apply it to their life, thinking they have the protection, but they don't do the abiding. They don't seek him. They don't draw close. See, it's not the hearer of the word that's blessed. It's the doer thereof. And we deceive our own hearts when we hear it and don't do it because we know it's truth, and yet we don't see it come to pass. Then we're in trouble. Then we start questioning God. Well, God, why isn't your word working? His word's working. It's working mighty fine. It's not a problem with him. Amen? Where's the problem lie? If I don't do it, I don't see it. Amen? So where's the adjustment got to come? With me. Amen? So I take a step back and recognize it? Amen. So our key is him. Amen? Everything we need is in him. Everything. And you are a bundle of glory that the earth is calling out for. Amen. Amen. If you could envision, what would glory look like to you? On the spot. Okay. All right. If we just envision that, because, you know, some of the Catholic paintings of Jesus, they just have this aura around him of the glory of God. Well, you know, I've seen that on people, literally, at meetings here in this church. Amen? When we've been filled with the glory of God. And what happens? There's a radiance that comes forth. There's a light that begins to radiate out of you. Amen? You walk out into the shop, go, or someplace else, and somebody comes up to you. What's going on with you? You're still in the glory. And it's manifesting itself. And the people that don't know what that is, what is that? I want that. They're drawn to it. Amen. But we're not going to wait for a wave of revival. You are revival. If you keep saying revival's coming, it's that snowplow. We're pushing it. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. What does that mean? It's not here yet. It's not here yet. Amen. Revival is here. Revival is what you do with it. You and God, filled and flooded for his glory, can spark and ignite your whole neighborhood. Amen. You're the hope of glory. You are. Amen. Say that with me. I am God's hope for glory. And I choose to follow him. I'm going to seek him. I'm going to hear from him. I'm going to follow his lead. I'm empowered by him. I'm equipped by him. I'm anointed through him. Now say it like you mean it. Amen. I'm anointed. I'm equipped. I'm empowered. I am filled with the love of God and the wisdom of God and the glory of God resides in me. So I will make a difference with every step that I take for the glory of God. Amen. 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 God is good. If any of you were hoping for hands to be laid on you for anything in particular, I will do that. I don't have a general call or anything, but I know sometimes I've gone to services and I was really hoping that they'd pray for me for something particular. So if any of you have something that you want prayer for, I will pray for you. But as far as I know, I'm done here. Amen. Amen. Oh, I wanted to just share one thing. My husband has written a book. I hope this is okay. It's called The Misadventures of Buck Tanglewood.